Katie, did you get the email I sent to you on the website for the Diana Chef?
I did. I forwarded it to Mike Linger.
Okay, and, good, good. All right. Last week, Katie forwarded to me your updated practice overview. I like it a lot. I'd like to make a couple of observations / suggestions. Do you all have a copy of that in front of you?
We do.
All right. Under what we expect of clients, here are a couple of things that I would like to see you work in. If you don't change anything, I'm highly satisfied with it. But I think a couple of things that would serve you well. Number one, an introduction to other professionals in order to be part of a coordinated effort. That is obviously wanting an introduction to their CPA, their estate planning attorney, whatever. You want to be part of that process, but you also want to get to know those people. So, again, however you want to put it in your words, an introduction to other professionals in order to be part of a coordinated effort. The other thing under adherence to schedule, under what we expect, adherence to scheduled appointments. Again, better put in your words, but you understand what I'm trying to say. I'm also wanting them to understand that your time is valuable. I think a lot of people have grown up in this business or grew up in this business thinking that whatever the client wants, we'll jump as high as we need to. We want them to be just as conscious of our time as we are of theirs. They're conscious of their physician's time. They're conscious of CPA's time. They're conscious of being on time for a haircut. So I think that would be good to put in there. Now, I don't want you to change anything that's going to take this beyond one page. If you think what I have given you is better than something you've put in there, I'm going to leave that up to you. Any questions so far?
I like that. That sounds good.
Okay. Now, the second thing that you all – that was attached to this, it where you have the names of each of the FAs, you have the picture. The last names aren't there. It just says Melanie, Joel, Tim, Michael, whatever. Was that intentional not to put the last names on there?
Yeah, I guess so. We can change it. We can put their names and designation in bold right above it.
Well, it's just I think it's all fine. I just think it is, again, one of the ways you're going to use this is with centers of influence and prospects. I just think it's a little more I think it just sends a stronger message if everybody's last name is there. All right?
Okay.
And then the other one I'll preface it with, my mother was an English teacher for a long, long time. And I see things that maybe other people don't see just because of that background. As I look at, let's just take the practice overview and look at the second thing under basic beliefs, integrity and professionalism from our team and Morgan Stanley for individuals and their families. Now, integrity should be capitalized. Professionalism, team, are not capitalized. Now, you may be doing that for effect, and I'm all good with that. But I just want to be conscious. I want you to be conscious of what my mother taught me. Again, going to basic beliefs, confidentiality and privacy. Confidentiality would be capitalized. Privacy would not. Now, I haven't had an English class since 1964, so things may have changed. That's the way that I was taught. So the bottom
line. This was just a rough draft that Melanie put together kind of before she left. So we've kind of made all of those, and she just wanted you to get it as quickly as possible. We have a lot of that stuff already corrected.
Terrific. Good. All right.
So we're not sure on the mission statement. We think the mission statement's a little too wordy.
If I had to make, again, I'm very comfortable with it. If I had to change this to fully understand our clients by listening and empowering them to achieve their financial goals by navigating life's inevitable transitions, I think you could put a period there. And that would be fine. Your mission. Yeah, I'm fine with it. If you would shorten it, that's where I would shorten it. I would like for you to get this into its final form. If you didn't change a thing, I like it very much. I can see the time that you have put in on it. When you do get it in your final form, make sure that you get it to compliance. This needs to be compliance approved. I know you know that, but I just want to make sure that we're all on that same page. All right. Any other thoughts on the practice overview?
No. I think on the emissions is maybe starting off with We Strive. That way it's not a run-on sentence.
Yeah, that'd be fine. That'd be fine.
We strive to fully understand.
Yeah. That's probably refine this thing over, you know, as a year from now, 2 years from now, it'll probably look a little bit different. I would just want you to get it through compliance so you can start using it to grow the practice. All right?
Sounds good.
All right. Part of this week's homework was to I asked you to respond to two clients who recognize value. Want to spend a little more time on the VIPSA script. That is, goes along the lines of Ms. Jones. Ms. Jones says something. She really likes the scheduled calls, and she says, gosh, Tim, I really appreciate these scheduled calls, or I'm really enjoying these scheduled calls. What I ask you to do from last week to this, obviously if the opportunity were there, is to confirm that you heard. Ms. Jones, I really appreciate your saying that. Our team works really hard to deliver that type of service. So, again, this leads into VIPSA. We believe the best time to start a referral conversation is when value is given by you and recognized by the client. Mrs. Jones, in this example, is recognizing value because she's complimented you on those scheduled calls. Ms. Jones, thank you for saying that. Our team works really hard to deliver that level of service. Tim, any opportunities to do that in the last 5 business days?
Yes. I had a meeting with my second largest client in New Hampshire, went to go see him, and he is getting that supernova treatment. This was really kind of the first meeting that we had with him, with the new folder. I met with him and his wife, and then separately with his children, who have significant accounts with me too. The feedback from him was terrific. He likes the folder system. Husband is going to retire probably by the end of the year. So the discussions were really focused surrounding the financial plan and whether or not he had confidence enough to do that. As far as me asking for a referral, that is something that I'll need to work on as I get feedback from him, like what he had for me this past week.
Tim, what did he specifically recognize as value? How did he say it? I like the folders. I like the scheduling. I like. What did he specifically recognize as value?
Well, three things. One, he liked the fact that we had a predetermined scheduled 3-month review on a particular date that I put in my calendar right in front of him, and he did the same for himself, for his calendar, that it would be a phone call, and that we'll have this predetermined scheduled date every 3 months for him. He liked that. He commented on the folder system as a documentation process to make sure that he stays on track and that he doesn't forget anything, and he can use that to reference what we had talked about last time. And then the third thing, and this is fairly consistent with this client in every meeting, we always reference the financial plan. We do that. It's been a focal point ever since I started working with him, and it's becoming more and more important for him as he's trying to decide to retire. So the results on the plan was good. It gives him a high degree of confidence that he can retire. He appreciates the work done on that. He said so. And so those were the three sort of specific comments he made.
All right. All good. Now, I wasn't suggesting that you get into a referral discussion with him.
Okay.
The point I'm trying to drive home here, Tim, is when people give, when they recognize value, that it click, that if you do nothing else, you confirm that they heard it, that you heard it. Mr. Brown, thank you for saying that. Thank you for saying such nice things about the planning, whatever he has complimented you on. You specifically confirm you heard it. Thank you for saying that. Our team works really hard around planning. Our team practice is driven around planning. Whatever, you want to make sure he knows you heard the compliment. You with me, Tim?
I think I accomplished that. I forget
good.
Exactly.
Good, what good. That was the assignment. Now, I sent out last night or yesterday afternoon, I sent out a couple of documents. One of them says VIPS down the side, and the other is a script of Supernova. Do you all have that?
No. Is it in the booklet, or is it something you
sent? No, it's something that I sent to you. Let me just make sure that.
Was it in the updated?
Folks, it's in my drafts. I'm going to send it out right now. I apologize. I put it together thinking I was going to add something, and I didn't. So let me come back to that. If when you get that, you would let me know. It takes a while. I'm on a satellite. Joel, did you have a client who recognized value?
What I'm doing is I contacted two clients that went to our Rogue Group Marquee event 2 weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
And they're both clients who I've known for a really long time, and I would say they've kind of pegged me into a hole as like an investment guy, okay? And so I had some pretty good heart-to-heart with one of them who's been through two bear markets, and there's been some history there. And really tried to change the way they view me and the team, and supposed to call back today to hopefully set an appointment. And part of that recognition of value is to talking to them about what's going to change, the onboarding process, the folders, the scheduled appointments, and we have yet to do a financial plan for one of them. And I've been talking about it for several years. So the recognition of value is still a work in progress, and I'm specifically taking it to people who I feel might, who I know have assets elsewhere, who I know aren't specifically getting this, and I want to try to, I'm trying to make them, not make them, but trying to show them the value. So
you've been pigeonholed as the investment guy in the relationship.
Yes.
Okay. I get that. Okay. Email is sitting on your desk. If somebody could print those two documents, they're both one-page documents, and get them in front of everybody, I would appreciate it. Joel, did they recognize any specific value?
You know, I asked for some feedback from our event, and like Pete said, yeah, that's great. I said, of course, I didn't really get to talk to those guys, you know, because it was a busy night, right? A lot of people were there. And I said, but, you know, obviously that's what we want to do. We're calling to schedule some follow-ups. We want to find the time to sit down with you and your wife and Tim and, you know, kind of start the process of what we're doing within the team. And he's like, yeah, okay. You know, he'd been kind of begrudgingly accepted. So I'm supposed to follow up with him today to hopefully set an appointment. So, yeah, so we're working towards that.
All right. Does he have an investment relationship other than you?
Oh yes, he does.
Okay. Do you have the biggest part of the relationship or evenly split? What's it look like?
I think I have the most. I don't have the most assets, but I think the other person is. He's done a financial plan over there with them, and he has yet to do it with me. So I kind of think he kind of feels like, well, I've already done one. So that's where we're trying to position our team a little bit differently.
Okay, let me just spend a little bit of time on that. Do you, when a client, when I hear the term a client's already done one, refers to a financial plan, I sense an opportunity. The two questions that I want you to be able to ask, that might be a good time to ask this client, and we talked about this, I'm looking at my notes, we talked about this in early April briefly, is when somebody has a financial plan, your response is, I'm glad to hear you have the plan. May I ask you a couple of questions? And those couple of questions are, how often has it been reviewed? How often is it reviewed? And the other question is, has it been fully implemented? Do you remember those two questions from April the 4th?
I do now.
So when you're talking to him about a plan, I think those are part of what you all will do, and again, we'll get into this more in depth, with your planning is it's going to be, you're going to be able to, if somebody asks that question of your clients, they're going to be able to say it's reviewed on an annual basis, or it could be event-driven, and it is in the process, or it has been fully implemented. That's what's going, and that's what your team can deliver. I've been with different estate planning attorneys personally. We moved a lot with Merrill Lynch. Never did one of them follow up and make sure that I was implementing the plan. So when you're talking to this gentleman, if today's the day you follow up, say, you know, we've talked about your plan. Can I ask you a couple of questions about it? Well, of course. Two questions. One, how often is your plan reviewed? And what your answer is going to be, what you do, again, is you review it on at least a yearly basis, or it could be event-driven, inheritance, death, whatever. Those are the types of events. And the second question, has it been fully implemented? Do you see, Joel, how that could separate your planning from the planning that he may be getting now.
Yes.
So that's the, again, we'll get a little more to that, get into that a little more in depth. Do you all have those two sheets in front of you now?
Yes.
We do.
Okay. Now let's go through this, and I'm going to use, go back to Tim's client discussion to as an example. Tim, have these folks in New Hampshire ever given you a referral?
Well, yes, they gave me their sons as referrals. Who, one son is a significant client.
Okay, all right,
but no more than that.
Okay, now if you would get those two, get the one that says VIPSA,
okay.
And I know this is very elementary, but I want this burned into your mind. The V is value. The I is importance. The P is permission. The S is suggest. And the A is advice. The VIPS comes from a gentleman named Bill Cates, who calls himself the referral coach. I was at one time with him in a small group meeting. He's very, very good at what he does. We've added the A to the process. So here's and then I've given you a script. Again, the best script for you all is it's our thoughts put into your words. So let's go to again back to Tim's client and Tim's client says, "Gosh, Tim, I really appreciate these scheduled meetings." All right, now what's Tim have to do? What's Melanie have to do? If you do nothing else, you have to confirm that you heard them. Bill, I really appreciate you saying that. We're really excited in our team about formalizing our service model. So you've confirmed it. Tim has confirmed in this example that he has heard the client's recognition of value. And then what Tim has to do in a millisecond is to decide whether he wants to end that part of the conversation there, or it's the appropriate time to start a referral discussion. As I said to you before, every time you see a client is not the right time to have a referral discussion. If you do that, you start to wear clients out. They'll quit saying good things about you, whatever. So Tim has said, our team is really excited about formalizing our investment process. And Tim processes this really quickly. He says, I'm gonna continue the conversation. And Tim says, do you know anyone else who might appreciate that same type of contact, that same type of service? You ask that question around what they've recognized as value. So the V is value, the I is importance. You have to ask confidently. You don't do what some FAs do. Well, I know I haven't asked you this before, Bill, but do you know anybody else I should be talking? You ask confidently. Bill, do you know anyone else who might appreciate that same level of service? You with me, Tim?
Yes.
Okay. Now, your client could say something along the lines of, gosh, nobody comes to mind right now, Tim. And when clients say that, that's more than likely what they mean. They didn't come into this meeting with the thought, I've got to refer somebody to Tim. So if they say I'm drawing a blank, Tim, I can't think of anybody. Now we go to the P, which is the permission. Bill, do you have a minute to brainstorm or whatever word you want to use? Tim, I'd be happy to. What are you thinking? And you suggest, you know, somebody you ski with, somebody you travel with, somebody you go to church with, somebody you play golf with. Tim, you know how to ask that question. You know where your, you know what your client likes to do. So you ask the question specifically. Do you know any? Does anybody come to mind who you know is getting ready to retire? Somebody you travel with, somebody you ski with, whatever. And Bill says, "Gosh, Tim, I'm still drawing a blank." And this is where FAs start to get a little uncomfortable sometimes. They've asked twice and gotten two no's. And here's how Tim exits this conversation. Bill, thanks for thinking about it. Just know we are never too busy to help people like you. And Bill Cates calls that planting a seed. You're telling people that you will accept new clients. Now, I'm assuming in this conversation that Tim has had the conversation with the client telling them that they have, that Tim has a minimum for new business unless they're extenuating circumstances. So the V is value. Tim, I really appreciate this. I really love this financial planning. I'm really glad you do. Our team really is excited about planning. It's the cornerstone of what we do. Do you know anyone else who might appreciate that same type of planning? Can't think of anybody. Do you have a minute to brainstorm? Sure, happy to do it. Well, anybody you travel with, you go to church with, you play tennis with, whatever. No, Tim, I'm still drawing a blank. Well, Bill, thanks for thinking about it. Just know our team is never too busy to help people like you. Tim, do you see the flow?
Yes.
All right. Now, on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being the least, 10 being the most, on a comfort scale, where is that for you?
Frankly, I would say in the middle of that range, say 5 to 6.
Okay. That seems reasonable. You will, Tim, you will have opportunities to have, if you get this script firmly in your mind, you will have opportunities to use it. You'll be meeting with a client, and the client is just gushing about what you do, and you've known this person for 5 or 10 years, your friends, whatever. Gosh, Tim, I really appreciate what your team does for me. I sleep better at night. Well,
thank
you for saying that. We work really hard to provide that peace of mind. You know anyone else who might appreciate it? It's just you'll just feel – sometimes, Tim, you'll just feel it's the right thing to do. It'll feel comfortable. Others, you might get a little bit outside your comfort zone. But the advantage of working outside your comfort zone is that your comfort zone gets bigger. So
thank you.
Say it again.
Yeah, so it's the S part.
Yeah.
S part.
Yeah.
You know, that is the one that will. Yeah, that you're in a position to be a little more bold at that point. May I suggest we talk about this? Do you mind if we brainstorm on who you can refer business to?
Again, your words are better than mine.
Sure.
I like what you said. Now, let's look at the A down here. And there's a reason the A is separated from the S a little more than S is separated from the others. I've gone down the leg of this conversation when the client can't come up with anybody. And again, the way you end that call is thanks for thinking about it. Just know our team is never too busy to help people like you. But what if the client says, gosh, I'm really glad you brought this up. My best friend is with UBS, and he is always complaining about never hearing from his advisor. He's somebody you should talk with. Here's where the A comes in, the advice. I would love to do that. If you were me, how would you go about getting in front of them? Because if you wait for that person to call you, the chances are, at least my experience is, that call hardly ever comes. Is that your experience, Tim?
Yes.
So when a client says, gosh, I really think you should talk to my brother-in-law. He's not, he really needs to talk to someone like you. Your response is terrific. I would love to do that. If you were me, how would you go about getting in front of him? And then you shut up and listen. Now, he may say, this is your client, well, I'm just more comfortable having him call you. You're going to end up there anywhere, if even if you hadn't asked how to get in front of him. So there's really no risk in asking that question. Do you got it, Tim?
Yeah. Yes. Yes, sir.
All right, Joel. How do you feel about the VPSA process? Is that something you could put in your own words and be able to use on a regular basis?
I do. I've done something very similar to this in the past. I've had some referral campaigns that I've worked with and implemented. And when I was doing it, I was actually getting pretty good progress, response, tracking it, following up with the clients that were giving the referrals, keeping them informed of what was going on. So I kind of agree with Tim that I'm pretty comfortable asking for the referral. You know, just sometimes it's remembering to do it. The bold part of this is asking when they say, well, I'll keep it in mind. When you say, well, do you have a minute for us to talk about it, to chat about it, to brainstorm? That's a pretty bold move. So you really have to know the client pretty well to know if you're going to, you know, insult them or, you know, if that's an offensive statement. Because some people say, well, no, I don't want to really do that right now. Let's focus on me, right? So you really need to know that client pretty well so that they're comfortable, you know, because that's where we have to recognize the value. And I've heard you say that last week and this week, and I think that's where I need to kind of make sure that as I'm talking to clients that I'm showing them the value, and then once that's recognized after a couple of meetings or appointments or calls, then we can start to get into this script. But it's a good script. Rob, are you there? Rob, you there?
The host has joined the conference.
You there?
I don't know what happened.
Hey, Rob.
Yeah, Joe, you're right that is the most uncomfortable part for most people, but if you started down this and when the client says, well, no one comes to mind right now, you may say, well, thanks for thinking about it. Clients don't, as I said a minute ago, don't wake up in the morning and say, how can I get Joel a referral? So, again, you're planting a seed. So,
one response I've had to that in the past is I'll say, you know, I understand that. I know you didn't come into my offices this morning to kind of talk about, you know, people you might know. Do you mind if I give you a call in a week and maybe you can have some time to think about it and I can give you a quick phone call and maybe just follow up with you. And if you do have someone that comes to mind, maybe we can discuss it at that time. So that's being intentional and deliberate about following up with them, letting them know I will call you in a week. I will hopefully you will have a name and someone we can begin to discuss and go forward from there. I've done that and had, you know, mediocre results with that.
Okay. Everybody has a different comfort level with different things. What you just said is, you know, I hopefully you'll, well, I'll call you back in a week and hopefully you'll have a name. That to me was uncomfortable. That for you isn't uncomfortable. It's getting the thought process, Joel, in your mind and then reworking it that I'm not saying it's in your comfort zone, but it's comfortable to you and it will enable you to get out of your comfort zone. I used to tell young folks in the businesses when they come in and give me a script that was just awful, I'd say, I'd rather you use that script 100 times than something I put together once. So whatever you can do in order to keep this thought process in front of your client, they're the golf club and they're getting ready to tee off, and somebody, one of his regular partners is saying, I can't stand what I'm getting from Merrill Lynch. Maybe because you have had that conversation or a light conversation, it becomes more obvious for him to refer. You with me?
Absolutely. And that's typically the way it works, too. It's typically that, you know, you're talking to them and then they bring it up in conversation. Oh, by the way, I was talking to so-and-so. So it's not typically that you get the referral right when you ask somebody, but you're prepping them. You're staging the referral event so that it happens 3 months or 6 months later. I think
you're filling the funnel, and stuff
coming
out. Stuff starts coming out the bottom. So the key is, well, you know, you talked about following up. Remember in your folder, you've got a referral page in there where you could put 523, spoke with Bill about, you know, did VIPSA, nobody came to mind, said I would follow up. That's how you, if you track all your referral conversations by client, you're going to be able to keep that process going. All right?
Right.
Melanie, you got it. I'm looking at the clock. Melanie, you got any thoughts on it?
Melanie's not here.
She's not here.
Oh, okay. All right. I got a few more things I could cover, but I'm almost 10 minutes over. Anything else you all want to talk about?
No, I mean, what I'm working on, and probably Tim and probably Melanie, is just getting those 15 clients on board for June 1, trying to get clients who have never gotten used to Super, or who have never been exposed to Supernova, get them exposed to it, get people scheduled, setting appointments, on top of all the other things that we've been doing. So I think that at some point, Rob, I'm only speaking for me, it would be helpful to kind of go back through the last 8 or 9 weeks and start to, when June 1 rolls around, start to incorporate some of these things. So when we're meeting with these people, when we're doing these scheduled calls, when we're setting up the calls for the month of June, July, and August, that we start incorporating these things like the recognition of value, the VIPSPA, some of the scripts that you've given us. So I just think it would be helpful to kind of, you know, before we get so far down the road with so much new material, to go back and make sure that the material that we have covered, we're integrating it into our best practices of what we're doing within the road group. Does that make sense?
It makes sense, and it begs a question. Would you like to take next week off to get the scheduling done, and then we'll pick it back up? I've got the flexibility to do that.
I think so. I just don't want to get so far ahead in what we're doing that we're not implementing the things that we've done in the past, that we've tried to be intentional about putting into place. So, you know, sometimes you can get to step 7 and we're still mentally on step 3 because we're still trying to get rid of clients, you know, moving to the call center. That hopefully should have been done, but Heidi's on vacation and Melanie's out. So just kind of following up with all these things to be intentional and deliberate about it so that, you know, we are doing these things. So I think 1 week break, since they weren't here and Heidi's going to get back Tuesday to kind of get everyone caught up, would be good. And also since it's a short week next week with Memorial Day.
Let's do that. That means we would, that would give you time. By then you should have your people scheduled. and I agree with you, Joel, that I think your mind will probably be more open to some other things we're going to talk about.
Hey, Rob, I've got a question for you.
Yep.
So, in the month of June, I've got an appointment with one of my Supernova clients who live in Pennsylvania, in Hershey, Pennsylvania.
Yep.
I have the vast majority of their family, the entire family, mom and dad, the three grown kids and their spouses, and then the main client's brother now, who lives in Hershey. They have referred me their 98-year-old father and their 70-something-year-old stepmother, who do not work with any advisor, and they have, according to the son, $3 million. And so they have agreed to meet. They live in Hershey. They have agreed to meet with me with the stepmother's daughter, so the stepsister, who really is will be the power of attorney and the decision-maker for them.
Mm-hmm.
My approach to it will be, you know, I'll look at the process of onboarding a prospect where if they do not, obviously we'll articulate our team's value to them, but I imagine, I'm anticipating that, you know, they'll think about it and they'll want to mull it over. They'll probably talk to the sons. My approach would be to offer a free run or a trial of the Supernova process. Any comments, responses on how to garner that new business?
Yeah, who's managing their money now?
Well, I think they are. Yeah, I think it's all according to the sun. I think it is all in an online brokerage, discount brokerage service. I think is a group of stocks that they've owned for a long time, plus some retirement plans.
So it's not a very active relationship, it doesn't sound like.
There is no advisor. There is no one person that is acting as a financial planner, which is what is the service that I focused on with this family. And that's what prompted the discussion, is the fact that they have no estate plan. 98-year-old man is sort of, you know, I think an independent person, very spry and alert, and likes to do his own stuff. So sons want me to get involved with them.
Do you want the relationship?
Do I want a $3 million relationship?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Is the stepsister, she has full power of attorney?
I think so. That's what I've been told.
Yeah. There's risk here, dealing with a person that old. I've heard stories of folks who look pretty good, and then they come into the arbitration and they can't find their own seat. So that's the reason I asked if you wanted the relationship. There are probably a lot of things, Tim, that you can do for them if they've got a lot. It sounds like somebody who might have a lot of long-term, highly appreciated stock. Is that a possibility?
Certainly it is, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there are probably some things you could do there just to make the when the death happens to make that easier. So as long as you're fully papered as far as who the stepsister or making the calls, I guess what I would do, you're not going in there to be the world's greatest stock picker. You're going in there to be their financial advisor. There are a lot of things you could do for them. I'd stress the planning. I'd stress the team, the service, all of those things. But if you're fully papered, then I think you treat the stepsister as the client. She's the one you got to convince, right?
She and her mother, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's the. I don't think it's anything extraordinary. I mean, if this gentleman instead of 98 was 68, would we still be having this conversation?
Possibly.
Yeah. Well, then I'd just go in and do your normal pitch. This is who we are. If you're looking for somebody to trade the stocks, that's not what we do. What we do is long-term planning and so on and so forth. So if you treat him the same, a 98 as a 68, then you already know what to do.
Right. Yeah. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah. All right, folks. I'll talk to Katie.
Yep.
You want me to change the schedule, or do you need to check with Melanie before we eliminate next week?
No, I think she'll be okay with it.
Okay. All right. I'll change the outlook. All right. Thanks, folks.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye.